Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius, and I welcome Germanicus. As we observe, 2,000 years from now, we're in Londinium, 90 AD, enjoying our cup of wine on a Saturday afternoon. We're looking forward to a display of Roman talent tonight. They're going to stage the destruction of Troy, always a treat after we have to go through weeks and weeks of Euripides' tragedies. Rome celebrates the destruction of Troy as Rome understands destruction to the ground. Dust is left. But later, first we're going to debate Europe 2,000 years from now, the same Europe we live in, but it is not at peace as the Roman Empire in the first century AD was at peace. It is at war. And I welcome Germanicus Makovlejos to comment on this apparent negotiation ongoing between the leaders of Europe through press releases. I read a brief selection. Russia's Putin lashes out over Western sanctions. Scholz of Germany. G7 will support Ukraine for as long as necessary. EU Commission supports giving Ukraine membership. Putin says Ukraine invasion was forced on us. Ukraine latest. Putin cuts gas supply. U.S. seeks to help Europe. Or Ukraine, Moldova recommended as candidates for the European Union. Or Ukraine gets major boost from European Union as war rages on in the East. Or Putin has Ukraine war hunger plan to destabilize EU with refugees. That's enough, Germanicus. What we have are threats in the headlines again and again and again. Famine, war, pestilence, death. Four horsemen riding back and forth in the imaginations of the leaders of these warring states. I puzzle why four leaders of the EU and, coincidentally, NATO, that would be Draghi of Italy, Macron of France, and Ioannis of Romania and Scholz of Germany were all sitting at a table with Zelensky in these last days talking about the future and how they will support him. They're offering the EU an accelerated joining of the EU, which is a great prize to be sought by any nation not in the EU now. Is there a negotiation not only between Putin and the adversaries of NATO, but between EU, NATO, and Zelensky? Are they telling Zelensky to lay down his arms and will reward you? Good evening to you, Germanicus.
Good evening, Gaius. It's an open negotiation unfolding in front of our eyes. And the main powers of Western Europe, descendants of our empire, are basically proffering to the Tsar, the Eastern Emperor. They're proffering a fig leaf solution, a sort of a gauzy way of covering the complete failure of NATO strategy, such as it was. It was really a NATO narrative, and NATO had seized upon this narrative in the heady, breathless days after the Russian special operation. And they seized that narrative before there was any good evidence that it was actually unfolding, and any evidence at all that over the course of time it would succeed. And the result is now, several months into the war, Ukraine's military capacity is played out. Its forces, in terms of equipment, have been destroyed. It has lost perhaps 60, 70,000 troops, its best forces, and are sending in men as old as 60 to be used as cannon fodder in Donbass. They're being ground up. And at the same time, the absolute complacent certainty of Western leaders that they would be able to reduce Russia to penury within weeks, to break Russia economically, has all been overturned by amazing Russian economic performance, which indicates, first of all, resilience, second of all, careful agreements made with supportive other economies like China and India, who've bought all their energy at a discount and are, in the case of India, certainly reselling it to Europe. And Europe's paying full price, and Russia has never been so flush with money. The ruble hasn't been so strong in maybe a decade. So the result is that the West has unleashed a war with a certain narrative that has failed. And worse than that, it has redounded upon the West with recession, massive shortages, which look to play out into absolute misery for Europe in terms of both food shortages and energy that is unaffordable. As the winter will come eventually, as it always does, and Europe is not going to be able to handle that. And finally, the U.S. is in deep crisis because we have seen 70 to 80% of the rest of the world, which now accounts for more than 40% of world GDP and about 70% of the world's population, are essentially supporting Russia and represent an alternative bloc. And the U.S. has essentially undone its own global system, its own economic mechanism that provided the U.S. with all of the special backup economically that has kept us prosperous and able to manipulate so much of what happens in the world economy for so long since World War II. And we're in a very tough spot now. And so Ukraine had already completely embraced Europe and NATO and essentially was an extension of NATO with a NATO-trained army. Now increasingly what's left of it, its equipment is NATO equipment. And so Russia, by partitioning Ukraine effectively as it has done, by peeling off the Russian-speaking and Russian-embracing parts of Ukraine, Russia's essentially reduced Ukraine and can afford to let happen what's already happened, which is that Ukraine will become a ward of the European Union. That means they'll have to finance its reconstruction.
The rump Ukraine, is that right, Germanicus? You do not include Donbass.
No. Donbass is the four oblasts of Donbass, you know, Kherson, Zaporizhia, Luhansk, and Donetsk are fully Russian now.
Along with Crimea, which was always Russian.
Absolutely. Now, the only question is whether Russia will continue. And in that sense, Russia has the stronger leverage in negotiations. There's nothing now that NATO and the U.S. can do to leverage on behalf of Ukraine, short of going all out war with Russia, with NATO armies. And that's not going to happen.
And Draghi, Schultz, Macron, and Yonas do not want a war with Russia. They were there in their good business suits to demonstrate that the way forward is not to wear a T-shirt and act tough on television, but to come with us and to make money. That's what they were telling him. And, of course, Ukraine will be integrated because much of the Ukrainian rump was Poland and can be rich like Poland again.
Right. And the powerful industrialized and part of the strong agricultural part will be either part of Russia or part of a Belarus-like extension of Russia. And the funny thing is NATO discovered something about Russian military power that it had completely dismissed with the end of the Cold War. It saw Russia as a paper tiger, a surface military that would, if it didn't succeed within the first days, would collapse and run out of everything. And guess what? It's NATO that's running out of everything. All the equipment that we've given has seriously depleted NATO and American stocks of weapons. And we see, and Europeans especially can see, that they're in no position to actually fight a war. And Russia, by actually taking the hits it did initially, reforming itself, readjusting and adopting a new and successful strategy, has shown a kind of resilience and the kind of staying power, moreover, in an extended campaign that the West, and that includes the U.S., knows it does not have.
Europe doesn't want to fight, Michael. I don't. No. There's no warrior spirit at that table in Kyiv when the four leaders sat with Zelensky. There is an accommodation spirit. And I take Putin's remarks saying, I don't mind if they join EU. Be gone with you.
Well, you know, one of the great pluses of this war, with which Americans have not yet recognized, but I think some Europeans may have, is that Russia has gained a kind of renewed sense of confidence in itself as a great power. And having been, you know, essentially spat on and insulted and injured since the end of the Cold War by Western Europeans, it now can stand tall. And it's taken some hits. It's sacrificed. And yet it has persevered and essentially triumphed. And that means a lot because, you know, Russians can have just as great of a triumph by enormous sacrifice, as the Great Patriotic War showed and the war against Napoleon showed. It doesn't require some super-duper 96-hour war like the U.S. It can come out of a war strengthened, almost as a byproduct.
All right, a mention of the U.S. The U.S. is said to be the leader of NATO, but it wasn't at that table. Nor was it at the table the next day when the former EU member, Boris Johnson, showed up. No U.S. at the table. Is the U.S. participating in this settlement? Can you read that 2,000 years from now, Germanicus?
Well, there's some indirect comments by the Secretary of Defense for Policy just yesterday that would indicate that the U.S., we're not going to tell Mr. Zelensky what to do, but essentially encouraging a negotiation. And it looks better for us if the Europeans take the lead, because it doesn't look as though the U.S. is surrendering, but merely accepting the reality on the ground in Europe, that it can't force NATO to continue to extend itself. It can't force Ukraine to continue to extend itself because, you know, this is a super bad outcome to the war if it looks as though the U.S. has used Ukrainians to achieve our own sort of.
How long, Germanicus? 30 days? 60 days?
Till they
cease fire and back off and start the talk.
Well, it could be as soon as a month or 6 weeks. It could take longer, but I have a feeling that Zelensky would prefer a quicker resolution, because the downstream effect for Ukraine could be disastrous. To have fought a war that didn't need to have been fought, in which 70 or 80,000 in the end Ukrainians died, all for the vanity of the U.S., it makes Ukraine look like this craven puppet that's been, you know, just sort of abused by the world's greatest power. And that makes the U.S. look, well, worse than Rome.
Michael Vlahos is Germanicus. I am Gaius, John Batchelor. We're observing here in Londinium 2,000 years from now the winding down of the Ukrainian conflict. Ahead of us is the unknown of the European Union knitting together a broken state that will need rebuilding. The Donbass will need rebuilding as well, but the Russian energy bounty will pour into the Donbass the way the Russians poured money into Grozny after they leveled it, the Russian way of war. We're going to turn just to a footnote because we've noticed, sitting here in Londinium, idle at the edge of the empire, not in combat, we're not soldiers, we're not looking to be soldiers, we're surrounded by retired centurions, all of whom are happy to observe the empire in action on the Danube, far away. Well, we're observing the action in the Indo-Pacific far away and noting that the effective elements of the U.S. military, that would be the Navy, the Marine Corps, and the Air Force, are focusing their considerable talents on preparing for a conflict in the Pacific. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.